The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
I've got sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I've got the month
of May. Here's what's coming up on today's experience. Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotionals become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but they make you smile and they're fun to listen to. The review of the goofy news, that's easy to find, which proves that Jesus is coming back sooner than you think he is. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use, and hopefully we will. Humor that will force you to think, was that funny? And why does this guy have a radio show? Also, a Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is David Spoon. I will be your host for the next 1,800 seconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. This will help you. We don't know what we're doing. We've proven that for a long time. We have no idea what's going to happen. Well, we don't know what's going to happen 20 seconds from now. And we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about that living life as a Christian thingy. Yeah, that thing that we go through on a day-by-day, hour-by-hour process. So we offer this up for you guys. If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, if you have an answer to trivia, if you got a prayer request, if you have something that you want to share because the Lord's working in your life, if you have a praise report because something is going really well, or you're just trying to figure stuff out, or you just want to say hi, really any of it's okay, you're welcome to reach out to us. We love it. You can call 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you call, Terrific T is the one who answers the phone. That's just like one of those outstanding sunsets. You ever see those? They're just like, oh, look at all of that. Oh, wow. And you, everybody has that for about, 20 seconds, right? But it's cool, right? I love it. I will tell you this. A lot of people don't know this, but Noelle and I, we lived in La Jolla and in Carlsbad. And in Carlsbad, we were in a condo that was on the third level, and they cut the trees down, and we had a four-mile view of the ocean. So you want to talk?
I know that was nice.
Oh, I have 1,000 camera, or not here, but phone pictures. It's actually called Spoon Sunsets at Shutterfly.com. You can go there anytime you want. There's so many, and it's fascinating. I mean, it's just beautiful. I'm just telling you. All right. So anyway, you can reach out to us. You get to talk Terrific T. That's always fun. You can also text us 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can email us david@hemustincrease.org. david@hemustincrease.org. Don't forget our website, an important part of everything that we say and do, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, we're getting ready to do Read and Ramble in just a second. Before we do, I want to go through a couple of things real quickly, if that is okay. It doesn't really matter because I'm doing it, so just saying if it's okay. I have had people praying for me in regards to my homework because I had another tough assignment this week, and I started a big part of it last night and this morning, and it is it's tougher in the mind than it is in the hand. In other words, sometimes when you think about something, you think about it, it's like, oi, oi, oi. But then when you start doing it, it's not as bad. Have you ever gone through that? Like, you know, I know this is a terrible example, but maybe you're cleaning out the garage, and you're like, before you clean it out, you're like, who wants to do that?
I do that when I make up my bed.
That's pretty funny. And then the reality check is once you start doing it, especially in the garage, you go, oh, there's this thing. I haven't seen it in 20 years. You know, it's always also, it's kind of like an adventure. Anyway, so I appreciate everybody's prayers. I'm starting to move it along. I even had to reach out to my professor and told him kind of like what the base was. Remember, I'm challenging the norm in the Great Commission, which is not a nice thing to do. And he loved what I did because basically what I'm saying about the Great Commission is found in Matthew chapter 28 verses 16 through 20. The problem is everybody says that's the Great Commission, but that's incorrect. You also need to use other times Jesus commissioned, the end of Mark, the end of Luke, the end of John, and the whole book of Acts, which is the manifestation of the Great Commission. So it's like you got to use all that. That's the lens. And so he really liked that. And so I get props from a professor. I like that. That's a good thing. All right, what's the other stuff? We already did the website. We'll do prayer a little later on. Just keep praying for – not just for the people in the audience, which I do want you to pray for, but when the Lord brings somebody to your mind. Did you ever sit there and you've done your devotions or you've done some reading or just something going on, and then somebody comes like kind of flashing through your mind? That's always a great indicator. You should probably pray for them. You don't have to say everything, or you don't have to be super spooky spiritual. Just pray for them. Just say, oh, Lord, whatever they're going through, just bless them, help them, keep them safe, protect them, watch over them. A lot of times that's why stuff like that happens. I think we're just insensitive to it, but we can work at it and do better piece by piece. That's what we want to do. All right, we're getting ready to do Read and Ramble, and I happen to really like this portion. We are in Colossians, but this portion right here is very, very human, so let's do our Read and Ramble sound.
Well, I'm ramming.
Yeah, that's me. I'm just I don't even finish the blin. I'm just the ram. And then just leave it there. Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. Now, I want you to see something that's very important, I think, for people to understand this. And that is that being a Christian also means being a real person with real ups and downs and real emotions. Listen to what Paul writes in Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me face to face. Sometimes you read Paul and everybody gets this theory that Paul's just this mean guy. He writes really mean stuff. It's like if you read the letters, if you read what he's written, you find out he's very, very human. And he's struggling. Have you ever been struggling? Well, then you can identify with the Apostle Paul. And he's struggling because he's praying and concerned about the Christians at the church when he writes this letter to the Colossians. He's struggling for them. And he's struggling for the people at Laodicea. Then he drops this in there, which I think is genius, personally. And all those who have not met me face-to-face. It's hard when you're getting instructions from somebody you haven't met face-to-face. You know what? Here's something really funny for you. Only a handful of people who listen to the show have ever met me face-to-face. A handful. So you're listening on the air. You've never met me face-to-face. Right? Because sometimes you meet somebody face-to-face, it gives you affirmation or confirmation. Sometimes it gives you the exact opposite, because sometimes meeting your heroes is not the best thing. I'm not saying I'm a hero. I'm just saying I've met people and I thought they were outstanding. Then I met them and went, maybe not so much. Here's the bottom line, though. He's struggling for the well-being of other people. He's really going through it. And he's feeling it. He's not self-serving. He's not self-delusional. He's not self-engrossed. He's other engrossed. He's totally into other people doing well. And he goes, I want you to know how much I'm struggling for you. And for those at Laodicea, and for those who have not met me face to face, there's an earnestness in his writing that tells you he really cares about how well they're doing. Let me tell you something. We ought to have that spirit, that attitude when we're praying for other people, when we're dealing with other people. We ought to be struggling in a certain sense for them, wanting them to do well, wanting them to prevail. I'm not asking you to wish struggling on people. I'm asking you to be aware that it's okay to feel the depth of it, to feel the pain of it sometimes. You know, when my daughter calls me and she's crying because she's going through a tough time because of having to adapt to a life with a child that has continual needs, I struggle for her. I want to go – you know what you want to do? You want to just, you know, ride in there and fix it all. You want to just give all the answers you can. Sometimes you're just not allowed to go in and be the person that provides all the answers. Sometimes instead of being the hands that bring the solution, you need to be the ear that hears and shares the pain. Now, it's hard, isn't it? It's a struggle for me. I know it's a struggle for you guys too. But sometimes you just listen, you just hear, you do what you can to encourage, and there's a struggling that goes on for us, and we ought to have that for one another when somebody's going through something. That's why Scripture says when one person rejoices, we all rejoice. When one person is weeping, we're all weeping because we're connected. I mean, goodness gracious, we have the same Heavenly Father. We are blood relatives by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we drink from the same Holy Spirit. I mean, that connects us on a lot of levels, especially as we're going into eternity. So he writes, I want you to know how much I'm struggling for you. And for those that are sick, for those who have not met me face to face, he wants you to be aware that he feels that. I think that was a really good line. In fact, I'm going to steal it from myself. It's sometimes you want to be the hands, but it's just better to be the ears. Just listen and be aware and pray for and care for and love on and embrace it for the sake of others. All right, we come back. We're going to talk about the depth of where he goes in this. It's pretty cool. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Or maybe driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. All you need to do is call KAAM at 972-445-1700 and ask for David Spoon. Or send him an email at davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. And bam! You've got your own Commercial Whammy. What is the David Spoon Experience?
Can I blow your mind? You know, I did this with you before, but on a different text. I love this text. You will love this text because you and I are sci-fi people. You'll love this. I mean,
ready.
This is one of those, oh, goodness gracious, that's so good. 1 Samuel 23:10-12. 1 Samuel 23:10-12. Okay. 1 Samuel 23:10-12 says this, Then David said, O Lord God of Israel, your servant has heard for certain that Saul is seeking to come to destroy the city on my account. Will the men of Keilah surrender me into his hand? Will Saul come down just as your servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, I pray, tell your servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Then David said, Will the men surrender me and my men to the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will surrender you. I love this portion because people, we think in these boxes and we force God into our theology and say he must conform here, which is just insanity by itself. Here's a situation where David hears that Saul is coming down to try and get him, and he's asking, will the people of the city surrender me? I've helped them. I've defended them. I've given them some deliverance. Is Saul going to come in and change their mind and they're going to give me up? And the Lord says, yeah, that's going to happen. Now, if you read the rest of the passage in 1 Samuel 23, David leaves. So he is not surrendered to Saul by the men of the city. But what I want you to catch is this. God knew what the outcome was going to be if David stayed,
and what the outcome was going to be if David left. In other words, God knew the alternate universe or the alternate pathway that was taking place. We've talked about this before. It's one of those cool thoughts where we don't think of it in these terms. But remember, David says to God, hey, are they going to give me up? And the Lord's like, yeah, they're going to give you up. That's what's going to happen. So you need to make a decision and go a different direction so we can have a different outcome. And it's like God knew what the outcome was if they gave him up, and God knew what the outcome was if he left. God knew what it would be if he went left or right, if we went west, east, north, or south. God knew what the outcome was going to be no matter what, because God is omniscient. He knows all things, which means he knows every alternate route.
On Christ the solid rock I stand.
Oh, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I am giving you warning now that when we get into the next hour, we are doing Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and talk about theology. Ooh, we're going to be talking about baptism in the Holy Spirit and or being filled with the Spirit. Ooh, that's going to be something. I spent like 3 hours on like one half of the sentence. It's just amazing how much time you can spend in getting into it. Okay, here's our first trivia question. Let's see if you can do this without looking at the text, but then I'll give you the text to back it up, give you a chance. Here you go. Here's the first one. Which came first, the plague of lice or the plague of frogs? Which came first, the plague of lice or the plague of frogs? You'll find the answer in Exodus chapter 8. If you think you know the answer, you can call in. I got to get that right. You can call in 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Or you can text in 214-210-8483. And you can also email David at hemustincrease.org. Which came first, the plague of lice or the plague of frogs? Okay? Neither one sounds pleasant. That's all I'm going to say. It's like, doesn't sound like I want to be around for either one of those things. Are we ready? Okay, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing?
Hey, pretty good. Calvin called in the other day. I'm his dad.
I gotcha. All right, so you're ready for this trivia question? Is this something you know right away or something that you kind of looked up or you kind of just, oh, I know this?
In my mind, I think I know it from hearing it periodically over the years.
Okay, fair enough. I love it. Which came first, the plague of lice or the plague of frogs?
Man, I was here.
The plague of the frogs.
That is correct. You are right. The frogs came. You would just think if the frogs came, everybody would go, okay, that's enough. We're done. I don't want any more of this stuff. But nope.
Yeah.
And then that was just the beginning of it all. And it was just like, wow. Excellent job. I appreciate that. Great job and great call and excellent work.
Yeah, that would be quite a mess, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You'd be trying to sliced tomatoes, and there'd be frogs jumping all over.
Exactly. If you're not fishing, that would be a problem.
Yeah.
Excellent job. Thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome.
God bless. All right, there we go. There we go. Where they go? Where they go? Where they go? There we go. All right. All right, I'm telling you, I'm warning you about this next hour. Don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me. All right, DNA. We've got to do DNA. I forgot DNA. Got to do DNA. DNA. DNA is, so, you know, everybody's come up with DNA. That's what the building blocks is, or the human genes, or this, or that, or whatever. It's like, okay, whatever the definition is. Nah, I don't care. Here's what I care about. This is what Christians need to be functioning in every day, part of our DNA makeup as Christians. All right, here's our DNA. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Daily, which means spend time with God every single day, period. I don't care if you spend 5 minutes or 50 minutes or 3 minutes or 30 minutes. Spend time with God every single day. Draw closer to the Lord daily. That's the D. And never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. No matter what the world tries to put on you, no matter what the internet says or what the television says or magazine says, who cares? Never be ashamed of what Jesus has to say. Never be ashamed of his words. You don't want him being ashamed of you. And then A, always be ready.
To serve.
To serve, which means that you are there, connected to God, ready to minister to people, so that you're connected to people, so that you're loving God first and foremost, and then you're loving your neighbors, you love yourself by being available for God to use you to serve other people. There you go. That's not overly complex. There's your DNA. Let's get into this next section. This is some serious, serious stuff. So we're going to back it up so I can do the runway into the other verse. Okay, so it's kind of like getting get it going. And we talked about this in the last little bit. I want you to know how much I'm struggling for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me face to face, that they may be encouraged in heart, knit together in love, and be filled with the full riches of the complete understanding. Well, there's three things he's loading up here. He wants people to be encouraged in heart, knit together in love, and filled with the riches, the full riches of complete understanding, so that they can know the mystery of God, namely Christ. Woo-hoo! That's a launch way, folks. So he's like, now here's what I want for you guys. Now follow what Paul's saying. I want you to be aware. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for those in Laodicea. I'm praying for people I have not met face to face. I want everybody to be encouraged in heart. One of the things that takes place in society is great at discouragement. Society's fantastic at it. They love telling you on the news what's bad, because that's what makes ratings. But instead of that, we have good news. We have the gospel, and we are supposed to be encouraged in heart. Oh, yay! We're supposed to be knit together in love. Now, there's the part that you understand is that this is a connection between one another, supporting one another, helping one another, living with one another in the context of spiritually living our lives out. I'm hoping that you're attached to some fellowship. I don't care which denomination you landed in. Just make sure you're connected to the body of Jesus Christ. People are thinking, well, our denomination is the only denomination. No, it's not. Just stop saying stuff like that. Okay? There's the foot, there's the knee, there's the elbow, there's the wrist, there's the head. You want to be part of the body. Okay? And it's not just the local body, but the corporate body. And so we want to be knit together in love. My mom used to do knitting, so I kind of always get that visual of her knitting. You know, it's like that's how we want to be. And those things, you can't break her knitting things apart. You had to burn them. It's like you couldn't pull them apart, right? Paul wants you to be encouraged in your heart, knit together in love, and filled with the riches. Watch this. Everybody's looking to get rich. Here's your chance. Filled with the riches of complete understanding, but completely getting it, so we might know the mystery of God, namely Christ. You want to know what all those prophecies were pointing to in the Old Testament? To Jesus. Do you know what everything points back as you read from Matthew all the way through Revelation and the 27 books of the New Testament? Do you know what I know where it points back to? Jesus. Do you know where it points to in the beginning of Genesis? Jesus. You want to know what the big mystery is that God's trying to tell people? Jesus. And what's most amazing, now watch this and tell me if you don't identify or understand this, is when you say to people, oh yeah, I believe in God. Oh yeah, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you say I believe in God, it's copacetic. As soon as you say Jesus Christ, their eyes bug out of their head. I'm like, oh, well, Jesus Christ, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. I was just talking about God. Hey, guess what? Jesus Christ is God. Okay, there you go. This is kind of like, this is the stuff. And it's like, and Paul's like, I want you to be encouraged in your heart. I want you to be knit together in love. And I want you to be filled with the understanding that the big mystery in God is Christ. That's the answer. Oh, Lord, what's the answer to life? Jesus Christ. That's the answer. That's the solution to the mystery. That's the answer for all of mankind, seeking to live forever, eternity in their hearts. Ecclesiastes 3, 10, 11, 12 tells us eternity has been set in our hearts, and the answer is Jesus Christ. And what's the answer at the end of the day? Jesus Christ. And if that offends you, you have a whole nother problem. A whole much bigger problem. Because the mystery of God is Jesus Christ. That's the revelation. That's the illumination. That's the catch. Yes, that God has chosen to manifest himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But it all is pointing so that you and I can get it. You want to see what God looks like? Why don't you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? You'll see. Because what is it that Hebrews 1:3 says? That Jesus Christ is the exact representation? Even better than a photocopy. You ever use a copier? You take a piece of paper, you put it under the copier, bing, right? You get an exact replica, right? Jesus Christ is better than a photocopy. How about that? You want to know how God responds to situations? How did Jesus respond to the leper? Broke the rules of the day, touched him, and said, be healed. It's like, wow. That's the heart of God. You want to know about the heart of God? The heart of God is why Jesus wept. Not because of Lazarus. Lazarus was getting up. But Martha and Mary and those around were in so much pain. So Jesus wept. Jesus knew what was going to go on. He pre-told Martha. But the heart of God for his people, full of love, full of compassion, full of grace. I mean, is that just fantastic? I mean, wowzer bowser. Right? Did we already do trivia? Oh, we're down to a minute? Okay, I'm down to 30 seconds. I can just get so into this because it's like, just look at how cool that is. God is trying to tell you, hey, man, be encouraged in your heart. Be knit together in love and be filled with the full riches of the complete understanding so you can get it. What do you got to get? The mystery of God, which is Jesus Christ. Woohoo! Love it! All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, top of the hour. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
GOP congressman's gay son was going to come on their show, and they were going to talk to him, and CNN and MSNBC canceled the interview because he wouldn't criticize his father. He wouldn't downgrade his father because his father maintained his beliefs. His son becomes gay, makes a decision, by the way, to become gay. And the son will not criticize the father who does not change his Christian convictions. Will not change them. Father won't change them. Son will not criticize the father for that. MSNBC and CNN both canceled their interviews because the guy would not crucify his father. That is, of all things, as low as the press can go.